This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Now, why are you not paired with your brother? I mean, the obvious reason.
Yeah, exactly.
We started fighting with each other, and we just thought it'd be better if we split up. No, I don't know. They asked to come over here and talk to the girl. I'd like to be with Michelle.
Yeah. that was awkward.
We just got back from a 2-week trip.
We did, in Europe, and we had a ball. So yeah, so we thought we'd just continue. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but with spouses,
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
So you like to be with Michelle?
I do.
Yeah.
You can quote me.
So what's your day been like, first doing the Dead Kid movie and now this?
The Dead Kid movie. I haven't been doing too much for that movie, for Gone Baby Gone, so I've been really concentrating, on Heartbreak Kid.
How come?
Well, actually, that title could work for Gone Baby Gone as well. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Because we scheduled this first, so I've been doing a little bit of press here and there, but it's this junket's the same day.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't been able to do... Yeah.
Well, that one's going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I didn't know which brothers to go with. Yeah. You or those, and, you know, I like to be with you. What can I say?
Which is easier for you to play? Comedic role like this or a dramatic role like that?
It's really challenging to play a comedy. You know, I'd never really done comedy before, so I was totally game, and you know, if you're an actress in Hollywood and you want to do a comedy, who better to do it with than the Farrellys? But I got to tell you what, you can't really prepare to be funny. You know, drama, you can really sort of develop your character over a course of time, and you kind of know what you want to achieve when you're making the film, but, you know, on the day, you just got to hope you're going to be funny. And just be prepared to just go for it and to really push the envelope and improv or do whatever it takes. So that was a definite challenge for me. So it was good I had Ben to sort of lead the direction because, as you all know, he goes for it. So
very at ease. You seem just like you were. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I was drinking tequila the whole time.
You guys were too, right?
No, that's true.
I think,
but it was fun. We had a really fun. It was a fun bunch. I mean, it's a great atmosphere to work. You know, they create an atmosphere where, you know, you're expected to embarrass yourself. You can try anything, and that's a great gift. When you're doing a comedy.
Well, so much of the film is about misunderstandings. Were there ever takes where it's like, oh, you said a little too much, that'll give it away. We have to do it again.
I don't think so much in the takes, but we did spend a lot of time in the writing thinking that whole part where she thinks that his wife was murdered, and Ben thinks that she knows about his wife and she's cool with it. That's kind of like a critical moment there, because if it doesn't work, if the audience isn't kind of understanding what each one's thinking, then the whole movie like collapses, and you know it was dangerous for us filming. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking, geez, I hope this works. I hope this works, because we're in big trouble if it doesn't. But you guys really sold it. You know, mm-hmm. You did. You to look at you during that scene, you clearly were thinking, you know, that this is a guy who's down here grieving, and mm-hmm. and he was playing it like
dynamite.
I love that word. Meredith, it doesn't even bother her. You know. Like, yeah. But he was saying it's over. I'm gonna end it and all that. But it was just, I think it was the writing and then the editing. We had to make sure that was watertight.
Well, for you then, how likable is Ben Stiller's character mm. to you? Because I mean, mm-hmm. you're absolutely the most likable in terms of you. There's no real misunderstandings with you.
Yeah.
Like, you're not lying about who you are mm-hmm. or anything else. But this guy, I mean, essentially, like, you know, he's kind of ducking out of this responsibility in a way, even though there is that element. Of course, she's kind of crazy, but you know, like, for you, how much?
Well, in most of our movies, we spend a lot of time trying to set up a guy that you do like enough that all these crazy things can happen to, and you like them as they happen. And we did do that in this movie, but as the story unfolds in this more than any of our other movies, he is a bit of a cad. You know, he's a bit of an anti-hero. What he's doing is not necessarily right. And that's why there is no real, you know, traditional happy ending to this movie, because he didn't really deserve one. He is the heartbreak kid. But hopefully you like him enough that you can understand him, you know, and you understand that he falls for, you know, Miranda's character, and that he does mean to tell the wife. But, you know, a lot of, you know, things get in the way of that. He means well, but still, he's walking on thin ice.
How has Ben changed in 10 years?
Excuse me.
He's grayer.
He is a little grayer, but it works. He's been so successful for the last 10 years, and I mean, nonstop. You know, like he just keeps going and going, and he's been involved with so many movies that are really been good movies that he's more vocal about what his opinions are and things like that. You know, early on when we were making Mary, if he had opinions, I think he kept them to himself. But now he comes out and he thinks about what everyone else is doing, and he comes over and tells us his opinions. And it, you know what? With him, it's good because he's so smart that he's almost always right about the things he points out. So it's not like he's just being, you know, like difficult for the director or something. He really is extraordinarily helpful in making it better and better. So much more collaborative.
Is it easier making an R-rated movie now than it was back then with Barry?
I don't think it's easier. The beauty about when we made Mary is that people didn't see it coming. You know, they really didn't expect it. And so it was like, you know, the type of comedy was really explosive and really worked. And then after that movie, of course, once it was a big hit, there were a bunch of those kind of movies. And so it became less, you know, it became more expected. So it's not making them easier, but, you know, getting them to a point where the audience is like, wow, you know, this is unbelievable. This is, you know, there's something really fresh about this. That's harder right now, I'd say, than before, because there's been so many of them.
Mm-hmm. And what made you think of Michelle for this part?
Well, we read Michelle for the Lila part.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
Michelle had a fair amount of buzz going on in town about Michelle, and we had seen her in was it Kiss Gang Bang? What was it?
That's the sequel. It'll be coming out soon. Kiss Kiss Gang Bang.
Oh yeah, Bang Bang. we read her for the Lila role, but as soon as we saw her in that, we thought she is good. But you know what? I think she's going to even be better for the second role, for the girl that is really cool and grounded and fun. And
how do you feel about that?
Oh, I just said, just hire me for one of the roles. I just so desperately wanted to be in the movie, so...
You wanted to play Mencia's role.
I did. Yeah. I wanted to play the role of the donkey for a while, you know what I mean? I was prepared to do anything, yeah. So I'm... And it was well cast. I mean, it ended up being, you know, perfectly, you know, the way it should have been, so...
Yeah, I hate to compare the movie to other movies because I love all our movies, but I don't think we ever got the total caliber of acting here as a whole troupe. Mm-hmm. Everyone in it it was the best we've ever had, and we're no better as directors than we were when we started. So I think it was just better casting.
Yeah,
Michelle, is there anything too outrageous for your tastes?
I can't say, no. I mean, certainly not in this movie. I mean, it's one of those things you have to look at a script and say, yes, I'll go here with there. But I'm not too modest of a person. I've got a pretty blue sense of humor. So I'm pretty much game for anything unless it's, you know, I couldn't think of something off the top of my head that's really, really offensive to me. I mean, violence is something that obviously, but as far as comedy, pretty much go anywhere.
Can you talk a little bit about working with Danny McBride?
He was just I love Danny McBride so much. I love. Oh my gosh. Danny McBride is just about the best guy ever. He's so, so funny and clever and quick, and he's that character that he portrayed is just really...
Which one, Danny McBride or Danny McBride character or the one he played in the movie?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know, yeah.
Because he's always in some
character. He's just always some character. It's so funny. But I think my favorite line that he has in that movie is like, yeah, what are you smoking, the devil's lettuce?
Yeah,
and he just came out with that, and we were just like, oh, shit, the devil's lettuce, I'm so going to have to use that.
You know, McBride made good choices. Like, cause as written, if you think about it, he's just the guy who's like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, he's the guy, and we've seen it in other movies.
Yeah.
He's suspicious of someone who's dating the sister or the cousin or something.
And he really made
it into
something special.
And there's a lot of ways
special.
To do that.
Yeah.
But he did it in such a way that it was really unique, you know.
Yeah.
Real, like, you actually... It was unusual, his take on it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Michelle, do you mind talking about, I know you've been cut out of a couple films.
Yeah.
And does that breed a paranoia, like, with this film? Did you think, am I still going to be in it?
No, you know, it's a good question, because I have been cut out of the films, and at that particular point in my career, I was like, but am I still getting the paycheck? Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm like. They're like, yeah, but, like, you're not going to be in the film. And I'm like, all right, well, then I can deal with that. You know what I mean? I think there was a film, I think, what film did I do? North Country, that it was after I'd been cut out of Constantine and Syriana, and I had a few scenes cut out of a film called Unfaithful as well, and I remember reading North Country, and I went, okay, no, I don't think they can cut me out of this, because, and I'm literally looking at it going, yeah, no, I'm integral to the script, and then, because if they take me out of here, then that doesn't make sense, that doesn't add up, there's, you know, I'm gonna but I'm, you know, looking at it, and it's so funny, and, you know, but both of those directors were real gentlemen, and they called me up personally and said, you know, we're so sorry, we have to take you out, and Francis Lawrence was really dear, and he put those scenes on the DVD, and so that meant a lot to me, but the paycheck meant a hell of a lot more.
Bobby, except for a fever pitch, every one of your movies has featured some kind of road trip of some kind.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, why that seems to be material that you return to, or what, you know.
My brother and I were road trip guys. We used to love to get, and we still do, you know, it's like, when we get a little bit of writer's block or something
that's
like that.
That's how you found out the Mary with the hair. You guys were on a road trip, you and Pete, weren't you?
I don't remember how that
remember
exactly
he's saying was. That in Europe or something. You guys were driving down the road or whatever, and you're trying to figure out what...
We're always driving down
the road. Okay, sorry, never mind.
We get in the car and drive from one end of the country, you know, go from here to drive back to Massachusetts. And the reason why is because you're stuck in a car and you got nothing to do, so you get... creative, and you know, it always helps us get through to the next level. So we enjoy a road trip, but it's good for this story because it'll let you know right away. Like if you think you're about to get married, like get in a car and take a road trip with them, and you find out an awful lot because it's hard. You know, it's hard to be in the car with someone for 3 or 4 days, and you know, little tiny things will start to get on your nerves. So it's kind of a microcosm of marriage.
You ever done that with your husband?
Gone on a road trip, yes.
And yeah, surviving.
We're still married.
I have one.
Thank you.
I have actually a quick question. Can you guys talk about what you have coming up?
I believe we are going to make the Three Stooges at some point, my brother and I. We're going to try to reinvent them. And we also have a project over at Fox called Hall Pass about a couple of married guys who their wives give them a week off from the marriage to sow their oats. And... we got a couple of projects like that. I'm not exactly sure, but we're always writing and trying to work on new stuff. But we'll come up with something.
Do you think you'll be able to tackle a project before this quote unquote strike happens?
I'd hate to think that. You know, I would jump into a project just for that reason. You know, because we would only make a movie if we felt like we had a script where we wanted it to be, and right now we don't. But maybe we will by the time the strike happens. So I don't know.
Thank you all very much.
Do you think the Red Sox have
some fears? Yeah, that's the real question.
I didn't a week ago, but now I do.
I know.
I think the Patriots have it.
Well, hey. Yeah, but guys, they really